Well, may God give us light now as we come back to his word. Isaiah 61. I want to look at words that we stood and said together in the New Year's Day service down in Inverinet a few days back. Isaiah 61. And we read of the Messiah who says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will be called oaks of righteousness." God's people, oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And the word oak there, it really means any large tree. And this is a picture of God's people being restored and delivered out of idolatry, because there are a couple of other uses of this word, large tree in Isaiah, and in both cases it's about their idolatry that it's referring to. But God is going to take them out of their idolatry, he's going to take them out of their darkness. And he's going to redeem the land, and he's going to do it by this Messiah upon whom the Spirit will rest, this glorious Messiah who is coming, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we use the figure of trees in the New Year's Day service in Inverinet, and I want to just recap and extend that figure because we can think of the great oaks or the great trees of verse 3 as being Scots pines as well as oaks. In Scotland, God would want us to be Scots pines of righteousness. He wants us to be like great trees, trees that are landmarks. It's what he wants Christians to be. Christians should be landmarks. Trees are landmarks. Oaks of righteousness, Scots pines of righteousness. If you look in the Old Testament, the first four mentions of oak in the Old Testament is of trees that were landmarks. There is the oak at Shechem, the oak below Bethel, the oak near the holy place of the Lord, the oak near Ophrah. They were all landmarks, particular oaks. And perhaps you can think of large trees that have been landmarks in your life. Maybe a large tree where you, maybe your dad put up a swing when you were a kid, and you played on that swing or had a tree house in it. I was thinking of a very large oak tree in Alness when I was thinking of this. Just a tree that I remember seeing. It was just at the top of the golf course in Alness, and I remember standing there as a teenager one day out on a walk, and I saw this tree, and it was huge, and I was just totally dumbfounded by the size of this tree. What an amazing and vast canopy it had. And I looked on Google Earth as I was preparing this, and the tree's there, you can see it. In fact, because the sun is kind of low in the sky when the satellite picture was taken, you can see the shadow of this tree, and the shadow's this big, long shadow of this oak tree. And it's really something quite splendid. Trees like that make an impact on the communities in which they are planted. Stately, great trees are impressive, and they are landmarks. And God wants us to be oaks of righteousness. He wants us to be landmarks in our community. And it does say oaks. It is a plural word. It's not like we should be all individuals just dotted here and there. We should be together. I wonder if I could apply this in a way couple of weeks ago when I was preaching in Plockton, I said to the folks scattered around the corner, I said, could you all come down and sit in the front half of the congregation? And they did. They came down and sat in the front half of the congregation. And I went to a church this morning in Plockton, and they were still sitting in the front half of the congregation. I thought, that's fantastic. And next Sunday, I invite you all to come down to the front half of the congregation and make it your tradition, your traditional seat, to be in the front half, just so that we can be together. Oaks of righteousness. We're meant to be not solitary trees and hillsides, but forest. We're meant to be a place of shelter, together. And when trees live separately, when they're isolated, they're vulnerable. And we've seen that in the storms recently. If you go up round about Duncraig and plenty of other places too, you'll find particular trees that have been isolated because of forestry felling, and trees have been left that were sheltered by other trees. They're now on their own. They've come down. And there are even some very beautiful, in fact, there's a big oak tree down in Duncraig. I think it's been sawn up now, but trees that, because they were left isolated, they were vulnerable. It's very important then for us to fellowship, not just to be in church. And it's good if we're all sitting together, because we do have a better sense of fellowship. In fact, this morning when I went to Plockton, as I stood in the porch before I went in, I thought, there must be a huge crowd of people in Plockton today, because there was such a noise of people talking together. And I thought, that's fantastic. People are able to converse with one another and speak with one another and welcome one another, fellowship together as friends when they're sitting together. We're meant to fellowship. That's why we have a cup of tea after the morning service, so you can go through and spend further time, because it's one thing being in a church service where you can worship together and sing together and pray together and read and study and hear the word together, but you don't get a chance in the service itself much to talk with one another and to encourage one another and to carry one another's burdens, to share with one another, so that you can be informed about the needs of one another and pray for one another through the week. So we need to be together. Oaks of righteousness, together. Oaks of righteousness. Now we come on to thinking about character. The thing I was thinking about this morning, so we began to look again at 1 Samuel and what it was that made David the man whom God chose. Character. Oaks of righteousness. Not just any old scruffy tree, but oaks of righteousness. On New Year's Day, I mentioned how in our society today, trees are being felled. The trees of people. People are being felled in large numbers by the crisis that there are in society. Crisis like debt. Crisis like online gambling, pornography. Crisis like the secret things that people are doing in their lives that are rotting their hearts and corroding their integrity. A loss of understanding of the biblical gospel and of God. So there's a crisis of values that people don't know what to believe. And there's a crisis of responsibility, people not taking responsibility in our society. All these things are undermining our national character, like as though a forest were being steadily felled. And any trees that are left standing are vulnerable. And so Christians in our nation become more and more vulnerable because around them people's characters are being felled and people are not standing. And we become confused. For example, this week we've seen a couple of examples. We saw a police officer being convicted of lying in the Andrew Mitchell case, the Plebgate case, you know, lying in order to incriminate a serving MP. And we've heard so much about that case over the last year or so that you wonder now, where does the truth really lie in that case? What's really going on there? When righteousness is lacking, when character is lacking, then there is confusion. We heard about the Mark Duggan case as well. The people of his community taking a stand with him, and yet at the same time this is a man who's been convicted of carrying a gun, being a member of a gang. And you know, there's various versions of what happened, and were the police justified in shooting him, and the jury found yes they were. But again, you hear different versions, you wonder what's going wrong here. Well, it's because there's no righteousness. And where there's no righteousness, the forest, when the forest has been felled, those who really do stand out, because they still seek to be righteous, become more and more vulnerable. And it's easy for them to be felled as well. And so we need to stand together as people of character in righteousness. Now, character is often developed when we're young. It's very important for those of us who are Christian parents to try and inculcate the gospel in its beauty and glory into our children. Because if they grow up with a distorted character, then it will be a problem for them all their lives. I was out on my bike the other day on the path beside Durnis Chalets up to Achnahenich. And halfway along that path there's another tree that's come down. But what was really striking about this is a big 60-foot pine tree. It snapped at about 20 feet up the tree. It's just snapped off and fallen. And I thought, why did it snap there? And when I looked carefully up the trunk, there's a defect in the trunk at 20 feet up. And so they felled trees recently there, extracted trees, and that one was left vulnerable. And the wind came and just snapped it off. At that point where it was weak, where its trunk was weak, that's what happens to people if they grow up with weakness in their character, because they haven't had a good start in life, then it makes it easy for them to fall. And as well, if our characters are being deteriorated and rotted from within, because perhaps of things we're thinking about that are unrighteous, or practices we have that are unrighteous, that are secret, but we know about them. We can appear good, and then just suddenly fall. We recently reported a tree that's just outside the graveyard in Plockton, and it looks a very fine tree, but over the summer I was looking at it and thinking it's not a healthy tree, because it's not, the leaves are not coming out well in it. And when you take care and look at the bottom of the tree, the bottom of it is rotted, and sometime that tree's going to fall down. And it's going to flatten some cars if they're parked there. We've reported it to the roads department. It's up to them to deal with it. But the heart wound of the tree is rotten. And what God is saying to us here is, you know, we need to give attention to our heart wound. We need to give attention to our character, to righteousness in our lives, so that we can stand firm, even though others may fall. And the best beginning that we can have, the best beginning for the great trees of humanity is, as verse 3 says, to be planted by the Lord. Trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Now, the great thing about God is that, or one of the great, many, many great things about God is that he can take even a tree that's fallen and make it sprout again. It's a lovely verse in Job 14, verse 7. Job says, "At least there is hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail." Even a tree that's fallen can sprout again, says Job. And God can do that when even we've fallen. Maybe some of us here can testify very personally. We've fallen morally. We've been people whose character have failed. And then God met with us. And God restored us. And God planted us again. And from very small beginnings, great things can come. We say great oaks from little acorns grow. Well, Jesus taught, of course, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all your seeds, Jesus said, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants. It becomes a tree, so the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. So you may feel fallen, Or maybe someone you're trying to help has fallen, they're like a felled tree. But God can plant them again. God can restore even the tree that's fallen, even the tree that is in disgrace, even the person whose life is full of shame and brokenness, whose character has failed and have made really bad decisions. This is the glory of salvation. God can plant us again and make even the most ungodly person an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now when God does that, he gives attention to the roots. And roots are important, the things that you don't see. They should go deep. They should go to well-watered places. They shouldn't be superficial. I guess probably the tree next door, which fell a few weeks ago, its roots were just kind of creeping over the rock. Like many trees in Kyle, they weren't deep, and so they were vulnerable. God wants, when he plants us, he wants us to put our roots deep. Like we sang in Psalm 1, and Jeremiah says it too, Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, Jeremiah says, whose confidence is in him. He'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. God then would ask us where our roots go down to. Do we continually ourselves feed on the Lord? Draw up the sap of his presence. It's great this morning as I was shaking hands at the door, just one of you on the way out relating to the sermon this morning just said, oh, I've just been reading about that and it's just wonderful what you were referring to, just wonderful the way we can have a relationship with God. And I thought, there's someone who's feeding on the Word, who's putting roots down into the good soil of God's Word and drawing up some sustenance and nourishment. Such a person, as Jeremiah says, will not fail. In the little vestry, I guess most of you don't get the chance to go in the vestry very often. I think maybe Fiona was put up a various posters, and one of them says, Bibles that are falling apart are usually owned by people who aren't. Okay? You know, because if your Bible is falling apart because it's so well used, because you feed in God's Word, you put roots down into the truth and nourishment there, it'll make your life stand strong, an oak of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So God wants us to put down deep roots. And I really do encourage you not only to be in church, but personally to study God's Word. Maybe encourage you, for example, to buy a study Bible. And not just to open your own Bible and just kind of read a chapter and close it, but a study Bible that can help explain it and apply it as well to your life. To use daily readings, to really feed on God's Word. That's something to think about in the new year as we think about how we're going to plot our course in the year ahead. And then what happens? We bear fruit. Fruit of good character. The fruit of the Spirit. Its leaves are always green, as Psalm 1 says. And in due season it bears its fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Well, all trees will show their nature by their fruit. And if we are putting our roots down into the soil of God's presence and praying and watering his Word into our lives and fellowshipping and encouraging one another, then we will be good trees that bear good fruit. Jesus says, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, he says, and thrown into the fire. Thus by your fruit you will recognize, and that's Matthew 7. So the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit in people's lives who really seek the nourishment of God and his Word, is love, joy, and peace and patience, all the good things of character. that make us strong trees above the ground, that make us stand strong and firm while others fall. And God is looking for your fruit this evening and my fruit. He's looking for fruit in your life today, saying, where are you putting down your roots? What evidence is there that you are drawing sap up from His presence and His word every day? Is there fruit in your life that demonstrates that you're someone who seeks His nourishment in your life? Jesus said a man had a fig tree. He planted it in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig round it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Jesus' warnings, time is running out for us to bear fruit. And the time will run out completely for all of us one day in this world. So God is looking for our fruit now, for the evidence that we are really being nourished in Him. On the other hand, many of you have been bearing fruit for a long time, and you become mature trees. There's nothing more splendid than a mature tree, isn't there? Nothing more splendid than that. A tree that has been growing for 50, 100, maybe 300 years. Its branches are spread. It's just a source of inspiration and beauty, and it's a place where an immense wealth of different creatures, of life, find shelter. It's a splendid thing. To use the word at the end of verse 3 there, it's a splendid thing. It's a thing of splendor. It's majestic. And if you're like that today, and some of you are like that, you're trees that are mature, you've been bearing fruit for a long time, then you are indeed people of splendor. You display in the splendor of your canopy, your destiny. You display God's splendor in your life, the fruit of His Spirit, because God has done it in your life. And it's wonderful, thank God, to see that in you and in others in the community who for a long time have been consistently drawing nourishment from God and bearing fruit for God. Beautiful, inspiring. Jesus is the greatest tree, bearing the greatest and fullest fruit of the Spirit. And there He is in verses 1 and 2. The one who took out the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogue of Nazareth and read these words, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." That's the work of Jesus. Jesus is the great oak, if you like, the great tree in which we find our shade and our protection against the storm. And in the absence of all other shelter, let's shelter in Him today. When other things fail, we can less and less find shelter in the strength of community or in the stability of the economy or in the provision of the state, then let us find our stability under the shade of this great tree, Jesus Christ, Let's say with Habakkuk, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. Let's rejoice in this great tree, Jesus Christ, Messiah. When we then grow as trees of righteousness in the shade of this great tree, Jesus, as a forest together, we will be a shelter for others. As we grow together in Him, with Him, we will be a place in which others will find refuge and a place of nourishment for others. For Proverbs 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. We will win souls. We will be a tree of life to others, a source of fruit, a source of inspiration. It's a beautiful image in the prophets, a quote from Zechariah chapter 3. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbour to sit under his vine and his fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. It's a simple image, just of peace and of stability, where people are living in a society where things are working well and where people can relax because they have plenty and they're provided for and they can go and visit one another and shelter under one another's vine or their fig tree or you know whatever it happens to be the equivalent in Scotland. Go around for a cup of tea and just fellowship together. Let God work that in each of us, that we will seek to put our roots down in Him, grow together in Him, under the shade and shelter of Jesus Christ, and be a forest, be a place of shelter in which others can, the saplings of those who come to know Jesus can begin to grow, and in which others who have not begun to find God yet can be planted by Him in our midst, and in which He can display the splendour of His glory as a Saviour, as Messiah, as our God who does all things well.